Hello, and welcome to the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb. This week, we're talking to Ian Hextall from the WaterAid Brighton & Hove campaign group about an open volunteers evening, well, afternoon, actually, next Sunday in Brighton. Their spring festival and what WaterAid does around the world. Also be some news about a self-defence course for adults on Monday the 10th. What the Play Bus is doing this week and next week. And marvellous music from the Resonators, from a lady called Amata, from The Beautiful Word, Danny Nichols, and possibly more. So stay tuned for the next 55 minutes or so for the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb, your community radio station for Brighton & Hove, 97.2 FM in the Brighton & Hove area, streaming live on the internet, www.radioreverb.com, and available to listen to again, download and share as a podcast at oneworldcommunityshow.podomatic.com. So let me turn now to my guest in the studio on Sunday, 2nd of February, Ian Hextall, who's come along to talk about the WaterAid, which is an international charity now, which started in Brighton, helping to provide water for people around the world. So, hello, Ian.
As you were saying, I represent the Brighton and Hove WaterAid campaign group, and the most immediate event we've got coming up is we've got a big supporters meeting next Sunday in the community based Queen's Road. It's from 2 till 4, okay, and I'll tell you all about that in a little while.
Yes, and WaterAid, Brighton and Hove campaign group, WaterAid, was I at all accurate in what I was saying?
You were
introducing you.
Yeah, you were, exactly. All right. Basically, we're a local part of the large national WaterAid organisation, and WaterAid National UK works in 27 different countries, and it's got two basic functions. It brings drinkable, clean, safe water to those communities, and also provides sanitation.
Was it that in the past, at least, that you used to have special loos at Glastonbury Festival, or was that someone else?
No, that's us exactly. We're one of the three major charities that works at Glastonbury. In fact, I was lucky enough to be there with some of the other people from WaterAid last year. There are 250 volunteers from WaterAid who work at Glastonbury, and yes, we do provide loos, we do provide composting, we do pick up litter, and we've got information stalls, and this year we'll be there again.
Fantastic. And as you say, is it a UK organisation?
It started in the UK.
Is it an actual charity? Do you have branches everywhere then?
No, it started in the UK, but now there are other branches. There's a branch in Australia, there's a branch in the USA, and there's a branch in Sweden. But in fact, it started in Brighton. The person who had the first idea began in Brighton.
That's amazing. I didn't know that. Oh, good. There you go. Big up Brighton.
30 years ago. All right. In 2011, it was the 30th birthday of WaterAid, and the WaterAid UK was the starting point.
And people may know you from your recent winter festivals that you organised with the Amnesty
International Bookshop. Yes. Books for Amnesty.
At the, what was it called?
Unitarian Church.
Exactly.
The last 5 years.
On New Road. Yes, I remember going along that you have... Yep. Wonderful music there.
Great cafe.
Yes.
Children's activities. Lots of fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I remember there one year, there was a girl who dressed up as a tap.
Flyers. The tap. She was one of our original members. She was in the group from the very beginning, but has now sadly moved to Bristol.
Well, presumably, there will be other people coming along to join in. And this, your event, is that for people to come along particularly to join in?
People can come along, join in. It's the first time we've ever done this. What we're trying to do is we're trying to contact people in the local community and say, this is who we are, this is what we do. And we're doing an introduction, a history of what we've done locally. We're having somebody talking about the policy of WaterAid in international terms, and we're also having somebody from a particular project in Tanzania, all right, coming to talk about the success of that project in Tanzania.
Indeed. And so then, as although you didn't have your winter festival this year, but you're having a spring festival instead.
We are. We're having Spring Fest this year. We couldn't have one last year because the management at the Books for Amnesty was in the throes of being reorganised. Mark, who was the manager, has now left.
Indeed.
A new manager called Paul is in place.
Yes.
And we'll be coming back to Winterfest in November.
Oh.
But
we're having
Spring Fest on March the 22nd. We'll be having an event then.
We can have more details of all of that.
Surely.
But, I mean, before we sort of pause for some music and then come back and talk more about all of these things, how people can get involved and why it's a good thing. But maybe let's look at what is water aid? You know, why is it needed? Though there were a couple of sort of things that I noticed the other day. Well, obviously, you can't help noticing the fact that it's been raining constantly here.
Yep.
But yet, you know, still we have to pay for our water.
Yep.
And then apparently in the world, sort of all over the world, something like 19 million litres of water fall every day as rain.
Right.
But yet millions and millions of people can't get a drink of clean water.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or if there is water, they have to pay, you know, huge amounts of money for it, which they can't afford.
That's true.
Or, you know, there's water that they can't drink, but they can't get rid of it.
Exactly.
And so how do those, you know, the two things kind of, you know, why is that happening? Do we need you to kind of, you know, help with this? Because, you know, surely there's only 9 billion people in the world, and if there's, you know, like 1,000 litres of water for everyone falling every day, you know, so where does the problem come from?
Well, the problem comes from the fact that the water that's provided is, first of all, maybe not the right kind of water, and secondly, it's not in the right place. And the problem with water is not the water supply. It's actually getting it to the right places to do the right things in the right quality.
Indeed. Right. Well, OK, we'll hold those ideas, and we'll talk about that in a little while. But now, luckily, this is a thing that has inspired people, you know, around the world, as you said, to support WaterAid and other organisations working on, you know, bringing clean water to the people who need it around the world. And it inspired a lady called Amata to write a song about this very stuff.
Oh.
And she sent it to Radio Reverb some time ago. And I've played it before, but I think this is the perfect time to play it again. It's called Water Song. And I will find out where she's from herself, and well, she's not from around these parts. But anyway, this is a really nice tune. It's called Water Song, and you may notice it's all about the problems of getting clean water. was Amata, who, it says on her Twitter, is a singer, conductor, music producer, human and animal rights activist. And that was a song in celebration of water and how much we need it. You can find out more about her by going to slavmusic.com, slavmusic.com. Or you can look contact Amata at her Twitter, which is at Amata Joe, M-A-M-A-T-A-J-O. And that was called Water Song, not written by her, but anyway, you could find out if you contacted her on Twitter. And on the One World Community Show today on Radio Reverb, I'm talking to Ian Hextall from the Brighton and Hove campaign group of WaterAid, a international organisation started in Brighton, but now with branches in other countries, working around the world in 27 different countries, you said.
That's right.
So what does WaterAid actually do then in these 27 countries? We know it's about, you know, helping people to get supplies of clean water,
yep,
where they need it.
Yep. Well, it does basically engineering work, it does research work, it does health funded work, but all of this is done through a community development kind of program. So it's all done by using local knowledge, local resources, local technology, because there's no point bringing in high technology that local communities can't use and then going and just evacuating the space and they can't use that technology. So for example, there's the most recent success we've had is something called the Big Pipe Project in Ethiopia, which is bringing water to a village in Ethiopia. And over the last the winter season, we raised over £1 million and enabled us to build pipes right to a village called Abu Tikrit. And there's 130,000 people living in that community who now have safe drinking water as a result of that.
Amazing. And before they just didn't?
No.
Right.
Before they were drinking water out of whatever wells they could dig by hand or whatever provision was available and just from basic rainwater that they collected.
Indeed. And as we, you know, could imagine, although it must be hard for us to imagine because, you know,
yeah,
we turn on the tap. And,
exactly.
You know,
exactly.
People do
exactly
complain about sometimes,
yeah,
the sort of what they put in the water. But generally
exactly
speaking,
yeah,
we turn on the tap and we can drink it, you know,
exactly,
and do whatever we like with it. Whereas,
yeah,
you know, for
yeah
other people,
yeah,
it's just,
well, there's out
the
of the world's population of approximately 9 billion people, as you said, there are still some 800 million people, right, who don't have access to safe drinking water. And even that is, you know, that's about a tenth of the world's population don't have access to safe drinking water. And about a quarter of the world's population, probably more than a quarter of the world's population, don't have adequate sanitation. Now, this has massive consequences for people's health, as you can imagine. So in developing countries, half of hospital beds are filled with people who have illnesses purely caused by the fact they don't have adequate water and sanitation.
Absolutely, which is, you know, a big problem.
A huge problem.
Indeed.
It ruins their economies. It means that children can't get to school. It means that it absorbs all the resources through healthcare, etc. And it causes lots of gender differentiation problems as well. Because predominantly, if people have to walk 6 kilometres to get water, it's the women who walk 6 kilometres to get water.
There you go. Yes. Yeah. Which is quite a regular thing, you know, in many parts of the world.
It is.
And was probably like that here until not too long ago as well.
Sure, when there were standpipes,
yes,
it would be very likely to have been women who walked to get the water.
Yeah. You mentioning standpipes, I mean, that was sort of apparently one of the sort of the birth of public health came from a sort of a thing in London where people in London in the 19th century were all dying of cholera,
yep,
in an area, and
yep,
nobody knew why.
Nope.
And then somebody made a map, and it turned out that they were all concentrated around this one standpipe where the water came from.
Exactly.
And that's where the illness was coming from.
Yep.
And then people then learned how to,
yep,
sort of discover stuff by, yep, researching.
Typhoid and cholera.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so presumably that kind of thing then, you know, is we then, you know, over the years spent,
yep,
lots of money on,
yep,
on putting in,
yep,
you know, safe water systems.
Well, I believe that Brighton, in fact, no more than 200 metres from this building, Brighton had the highest concentration of typhoid in the country,
right,
in the 19th century.
Yes, well, indeed.
Yeah.
I mean, Brighton was, surprisingly, perhaps to many people, a kind of terrible
very
place.
Poor country.
very poor place for,
yeah,
people. Yes,
yeah.
They used to call it a sort of a ragged garment with a golden fringe.
Exactly.
And that, so then the living conditions, yeah, for the people were,
yeah,
atrocious, and there wasn't,
yeah,
clean water or,
mm,
you know, sewage,
mm,
or anything.
Mm.
But luckily, we have now. And the thing is that when it comes to water here, as you said, you know, I mean, if we thought about it, you know, we could surely we could just put, you know, put a bucket outside and collect water because it's been raining so much, you know.
Well, if you listen to people in Somerset, one of their problems is they've got masses of
water. They've
got
far too much water, yes.
No, but it contains sewage, it contains contaminants, it contains germs, it contains bacteria, and they don't have adequate supplies of water. They're having to have water piped in.
The wrong kind of water.
Exactly.
Right, so that actually is a real problem. So even in places where there is lots of rain,
yeah,
there are still problems for people to actually catch the water and then have
treat it,
right.
Yeah.
What about, can you not just drink rainwater?
Like you can.
If you could catch it in a clean thing.
Yeah, you could drink rainwater if you could catch it in a clean thing. Yeah.
Yes, yeah. But that's not actually so easy all the time.
Not very easy, no. So, and storage is a problem.
Yes. I mean, there are places where there is water, you know, it's like in lakes and rivers and stuff, mm-hmm. but you know, and it does rain, but people still can't get drinking water. Or if they do, they have to pay huge amounts of money, and you know, and it's owned. Yeah. It's the water is now owned by all these companies because the governments were encouraged to sell all their resources, all their natural sort of you know utilities to big foreign companies.
Yep, we've heard this before, haven't we? in relation to other resources and facilities.
Yes.
Yeah, but it seems particularly bizarre in relation to water.
Yes. It's like, yeah, they haven't managed to sort of, you know, make us pay for the air yet, but, you know.
Well,
so many people are working on that.
In some ways they do. If you if you work in a hot, very hot building, then you're paying for air through air conditioning, etc. It's the power problem that's a problem.
And there was a thing in Tokyo, I believe, that everyone was terribly shocked that people were actually having to sort of have these little oxygen dispensers on the street.
Sure.
Because, the air was so bad that they had to pay for, you know, clean air.
Going back to what you said about having plenty of water, if we symbolise the amount of water in the world as a bucket of water, the actual directly usable water in that bucket is a teaspoonful.
Ah.
Because you're talking salinity, you're talking pollution, you're talking it being maldistributed, you're talking all sorts of issues like that.
But, I mean, you're saying that one of your big things at the moment that you're doing is in Ethiopia.
That was the latest project, the big pipe project. We have other projects. The year before, there was a big project called the Big Dig, which was building a huge well in Malawi for, again, poverty struck. And
The thing is that, I mean, some people say that, you know, that say that people who live in remote areas, you know, are sort of better off. And because they have a more kind of close relationship with nature, and they understand their natural, you know, sort of environment, and that they can live within it perfectly happily, and that it's only interference from, you know, from us outside, you know, the sort of the West or kind of, you know, the commercial world that interferes, and then that messes things up for them. Mm-hmm. But it, you know, is that the case? I mean, or is it that people who, you know, who live in remote areas have the more problem with water than say people who live in the city, for example?
People who live in remote areas do have more problems, yes, because they've got a problem over transporting the water from where it is to where they need it. So that is a massive problem. And if you don't have a transportation system like pipes, all right, then it's down to human labour. And if it's down to human labour, as I said before, predominantly it's going to be women who are going to be taken out of the employment sector just to carry water from one place to another. The other problem is that if you've got a large agricultural community, which may be agribusiness, right, then the water that is available may be badly polluted by nitrates, phosphates, all sorts of issues like that. So it's not just a question of the water being on the ground. It has to be transported and it has to be made potable.
Indeed. Ian Hextall from Brighton and Hove Water Campaign Group. Thank you very much for that. So far, again, we'll talk again about what exactly is happening on Sunday the 9th of February.
Surely.
From 2 to 4 p.m. at Community Base on 113 Queen's Road, where it is your supporters meeting and volunteer group get-together.
Yep.
And how people can get involved in that and what it would mean after I play some more music.
Okay.
Thank you very much. That was very interesting. So, now, speaking of Ethiopia, just down, or is it up? Up from Ethiopia is the Sudan.
Yeah.
And, amazingly to me, but still brilliantly, a brilliant Brighton band have been invited by the government, by the British Council, which is kind of, you know, supported by the government, to go to the Sudan, Khartoum in particular, and run workshops with local musicians, and then collaborate in a concert. And then they're going to go to Port Sudan and play. So it's the Resonators. You may have seen them. They're sort of big reggae, dub reggae band, sort of very popular on the festival scene, but they made quite a few albums and things. Anyway, they're going off to the Sudan to teach the people how to play reggae music. I mean, you know, it's a funny world, but then again, you know, perhaps nobody knows how to play reggae in Sudan, and they really want to know. Anyway, here is the Resonators with a track which is them live from some time ago, and this is called Gold Getter.
This is going to be our last track. Are you ready for the Rouge Garden Rhythm Force? This one's for Jill. She's going away.
The Mighty Resonators from here in Brighton with Gold Getter, a live track, not recorded here but in a big place, and like I said, you will be able to hear presumably on their Facebook all about their visit to the Sudan next week with the British Council, where yes, they're going to run workshops with local musicians in Khartoum, teach them how to do that sort of thing, I expect, and then doing Resonators gigs. Amazing. I can't wait to see the videos. May seem ironic that people are going to Africa to work, teach people how to play sort of essentially African-based music. But there you go. Maybe people have forgotten. I once saw some videos of another project where people took circus skills to India and did workshops with the young Indian people. And, you know, in fact, really a long time ago, a lot of circus stuff actually came from India. with the gypsies. But anyway, that was a fantastic thing, because these children just basically, you know, had never seen it before, and it was brilliant. So maybe that'll be what it will be like. Resonators, yes, you will be able to get a link to their Facebook and on the One World Community Show Facebook page after the show on Sunday. If you're listening on Monday or Wednesday, it should be on there. That's facebook.com/ One World Community Show. Now, Ian Hextall from WaterAid Brighton and Hove campaign group, you're having this volunteer meeting.
Yeah.
And it's going to be an inspiring afternoon discovering how you can support. How your support for WaterAid has changed lives. So it's going to be more like telling people who've been involved what's been going on.
Well, we want to kind of let people know what we've been doing over the last 6 years. And also we want to let people know what WaterAid does on an international basis. And then we want to talk about how we can develop our work and make it more meaningful to the local community. So it's a two-way process, like these things often are. We want to do it both ways around. We want to inform people of what we've been doing. We want to put that in some kind of international context. And then we want to actually talk to people about how we can improve or change or transform what we've been doing so that people can get more involved.
You were saying just before that, June, that one of the things you've been doing, the big projects have been like building pipelines in Ethiopia.
Yep.
And then working in, where was the other place?
Malawi.
Malawi, yeah.
Yep. And Tanzania at the moment as well. I mean, 27 countries. So there are projects going on everywhere all the time.
And so, mainly what people do here in Brighton and other places in the UK is raise money and awareness.
And awareness, that's exactly it. We raise money and awareness and campaign. So that other people know about it. I mean, we never know how effective our campaigns are because people sign standing orders, direct debits, etc. And they may be impressed by what we've done.
When you say campaign, does that mean like try and get more people involved, or does that mean telling our government that they should be doing more to help people
both.
In other countries?
Both. We want to get people involved on a local level, but also we're running, WaterAid internationally is running a huge campaign at the moment in relation to try to make sure that the United Nations Millennium Development Goals are extended to 2030, and that by 2030 everyone everywhere in the world should have access to water and sanitation.
Indeed. Well, so that's what the United Nations
the goal.
Says.
That
and,
is the goal.
And do the governments of the rich countries like our own, are they doing their fair share?
Fair is an interesting word. I mean, I would like them to be doing more. I think there are signs that the British government is matching some funding, which is very good. I mean, so if we raise money, for example, for the big pipe in Tanzania, every pound that we raised and other organisations raised for that project, it was being matched by DFID Canter funding. All right, so that was good. Yeah, and that was true with the Malawi project as well. But we need to raise more money. Everybody knows that all the big rich countries are falling behind in their development grants.
That is a kind of encouraging thing, though, to think that if you go out and raise some money, that the government will match it as well.
Exactly.
Wonderful. Okay.
Exactly.
So there you go. Get along. So it's not just for people who've already been involved.
Absolutely
it's
not.
For new people to come
Absolutely
along and find
not.
Out how they can get
Absolutely.
Involved. And get involved
Absolutely.
Too.
And yes. It's as you say, it's at the community base on Queen's Road.
Yep.
It's from 2 till 4. We'll be there from 1:30. There's all the usual tea, coffee, cakes, etc. There'll be media presentations, there'll be ourselves speaking, there'll be people talking about big projects, and there'll be people who've experienced big projects talking as well. So do come along. It'll be interesting, it'll be fun, it'll be nice to get to know people. Yeah,
absolutely. I mean, you know, these things, it just struck me that, you know, in most of our everyday lives, you know, with sort of work or, you know, studying or whatever,
yep.
It's, you know, it's fairly kind of, you know, I don't know, maybe people have really interesting and exciting, you know, things that they're doing, and even if they are,
yep.
They're still not necessarily saving someone's life, you know, by what they do,
no.
You know. So
no.
If you're working in a factory or
the way we do very rough calculations is that every £15 that's raised brings a tap to a community. It brings a standpipe and
right,
a tap
right.
to a community.
Right.
And that means that you're actually bringing, you know, running water, running clean, potable water to a community. And that's for every £15 that's raised. And we can break down that in terms of... And everything gets costed out. You've got to pay concrete, you've got to pay training, you've got to pay piping, you've got to pay all of that stuff, yeah.
And the cost for the people who don't have clean water, of not having clean water, is, like, immense. Because in terms of illness and, in fact, life chances and sort of length, average length of people's lives is reduced hugely.
Exactly.
And then if you've got to be kind of, you know, if you get ill, then you've got to be looked after, and then that's going to cost a huge amount as well.
Yep.
And then people can't work as much, or they can't produce.
Exactly.
And, you know.
Yep.
Or they have to spend all their time trying to avoid all the problems that are caused by not having clean water.
Yeah, and there are side issues as well. For example, if you don't have toilets in a school, teachers won't go to that school. All right, teachers won't go and work in that school. So there's a huge problem recruiting teachers in schools where there are no toilets. And the other thing is that girls will not go to school predominantly. I mean, the attendance rate of young girls when you put in a toilet into a school goes up by about a third. Right, so that's a huge input.
That's an interesting thing. I remember my brother once telling me a thing where he was doing a study on, you know, what would encourage children to do stuff like go to education, and he found out that McDonald's had worked, you know, done all this research into what they could do to get children to go to McDonald's, and one of the things the children said that they liked McDonald's was because the loos were clean.
Yeah, exactly.
That's why they wanted to go.
Yeah. So there are all sorts of side issues like this. And the other one that has been very highly publicised is that the women who are going to collect water are often under threat. They may be attacked, or they may be raped, or they may be molested in one way or another, because they're having to travel huge distances and often in the dark to get to those places very early on.
Fantastic. Well, not that's terrible, but it's fantastic that you're doing something about all this, and that there's an opportunity for anyone to come along and take part.
We'd love to see people, and we people will not be expected to do anything other than just come along or find out what we do, find out how we're interested.
Yes.
There are other things that we're doing that are very accessible as well. Everybody knows about the Brighton Half Marathon. Well, WaterAid is a major charity which is supported by the Brighton Half Marathon.
Wonderful.
So we should be down at Hove Lawns at the Hove Lagoon on February the 16th, providing water for the runners.
So that's something that people can get involved with?
People can just come down and hand out water. And if you think it's easy to hand out water to...
People running
thousands
fast, really fast.
Of runners. It's not easy. Well, it sounds, and it's huge fun.
It sounds like fun. I personally always find that any kind of event that is always much more fun to be actually involved in running it rather than just being a passive consumer.
Yeah. Well, that is a very, very active event, I can assure you. You get a lot of involvement in that.
So you have that. That is one of the things. And then the Spring Festival. Is that going to be in the Unitarian Church again?
It is, and it's on March the 22nd, which is World Water Day.
Something to get along and join in with. But that's not just sort of like information and
and
discussion. It's actually going to be lots of bands and musicians.
We have been hoping to have 7 or 8 bands. We have a fantastic cafe. We have a children's play area with people who look after kids and play with them. And we have resources from the Community Resource Centre. We sell artifacts. The Books for Amnesty will bring down books and so on. And it's a great atmosphere. It's a lot of fun. If you're looking for somewhere quiet to just sit down, well, not quiet, but if you're looking for somewhere lively to sit down, come and have some really, really good homemade cakes, listen to some good bands, and let your kids play in the play area.
Indeed. Okay. And so do you want more? I know you said that you had the beautiful word. Yeah. Already signed up, and someone
I'm not
say,
sure.
Who else, say
no,
who else?
No. I'm not saying the beautiful word signed up this year. We have had the beautiful
word
before.
Oh, they played
before.
In before.
We can let you know next week who is playing.
Do you want more? If any musicians out there listening?
Yeah, sure.
Would you like them to get in touch?
Indeed.
Presumably, tell people how they can get in touch.
Well, you can get in touch with me. All right. I'm Ian Hextall at tinyworld.co.uk. And my mobile number is 07-847-170503.
Well, even though the beautiful word may not be playing this year at the Spring Festival, they did play in the past.
They did.
And they are. So for that, at least, they should be celebrated.
Yeah.
And, well, let's think, is there anything more that we ought to be telling people? Think, and I'll play The Beautiful World.
Okay.
And then we can think of anything else.
That'd be fantastic.
Ian Hextall from WaterAid Campaign Group, Brighton and Hove. Thank you very much again. Oops. Here is, in fact, The Beautiful World from here in Brighton. Supporters of WaterAid in the past, you too could support WaterAid if you're a musician by playing at their Spring Festival. Get in touch with Ian. Here's The Beautiful World with a wonderful song called May Not Be Love off their recent album.
It's not love, I'm just cold. I'll give you my hand to hold. I hope you don't think me bold. In the snow, we're alone. Ice, it will melt away. Will you be?
Beautiful Word, wonderful Brighton band with May Not Be Love, a track on their recent album, which is both available on a CD and to download. Links to them on the One World Community Show Facebook page about, well, let's say, 6:30 after the show on Sunday night, or now, if you're listening to the repeats. I love these time slip kind of things you get with repeats, talking to, you know, you in the future. Hello, Wednesday future person. Anyway, Ian Hextall-Smith is very much here now on Sunday.
Not Ian Hextall-Smith.
No, we were talking about that. Yes, we were talking about how his namesake, but spelt differently, was a very important musician in the 1960s, Dick Hextall-Smith.
Exactly.
Saxophone player who played with many of the great British bands of the 60s. Anyway, but not spelt and no relation, though.
Exactly.
But anyway, sorry about that. I should be trying to get some of his music because he was very good. Anyway, so we were just going to give your website address again and how people can contact you.
Okay.
For more information and if there's anything else that we need to tell people.
Well, thank you very much. It's been very interesting talking to you. And my email address is Ian Hextall, H-E-X-T-A-L-L, at tinyworld.co.uk. And my mobile number is 07-847-170503. And if you leave me a message, I'll get back to you and give you any information. But basically, do come along next Sunday afternoon, 2 till 4, at the Community Hub at Queen's Road, and we'll be there, and it'll be lovely to see you, and we'll have a good afternoon. Thank you very much indeed. Thank you, Donald.
Thank you, Ian. It's been a great pleasure talking to you too and hearing about your thing. I'll have to try and come along next Sunday and see what you have been doing. Well, see more about what you've been doing. Hearing about it today, which is great. So anyway, well, wonderful. Thank you very much, Ian. And well, hopefully, you know, you or someone else can come back again, maybe nearer to the Spring Fest. Festival.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, any bands, musicians, you know, get in touch with Ian and get involved.
We'll give you more details.
Yes. And there's plenty of volunteering opportunities too. Wonderful.
Absolutely.
Right. Thank you very much. Bye. Indeed. And here's some information about another event that is coming up next week. It is the launch party of the Kemp Town Carnival, which is going to be on Friday, 7th of February. It starts at 10:30 p.m, so a late night gig at the... Where is it at? I'm not sure. But it's going to be at the Concord 2, and it's going to include music by the Carnival Collective, Cozina, Barulio, Maricatu, Cruzeiro, Du Sol, Dance Troupe, and Critical Masquerade, and more. Recorded music from DJ Eggs Legs, Radio Giro Mundo, and DJ Robin DeRich. Doors open 10:30. There will be a charge of £6 in advance if you buy your tickets through the Facebook page. I'll put a link on the One World Community Show Facebook page if I can. Or it's £8 on the door. And that is, of course, a fundraising night and a launch party for the fabulous Kemp Town Carnival, something that has been going from strength to strength over the last years and transforms Kemp Town into our own kind of Notting Hill Carnival, maybe with a bit more of a Brazilian flavour down there. Anyway, well, to get you in the mood for going to that on Friday, I'm going to play some carnival music. Not exactly the way they do it, but I like this. Here is a band from Central America. They're called the La Nueva Compañía. And this is a slightly different kind of carnival music, which is called Chichero music. And this is called Sorompan Los Fuegos, or Let the Fires Break Out.
Y se rompen los fuegos!
Déjenme que me presente, yo soy la María de Brazo Potosí. Antes perdí la inocencia por las incidencias del teniente Cosme. También quiero palabrearles que fui media novia del sargento Guido. Lo que pasa es que ese año hace 15 días que fue transferido. Yo soy la María, María es mi gracia, pero a mí me dicen María de los Guardias. Yo soy la María, María, cuando con razones, razones. Llevo en mi cuenta por cuenta 5 batallones.
Soy granadino, nací en Nandaime, de zapatones jamás usé caites.
Bajo a la población, no me paro en las esquinas. No me gusta que me digan que yo soy un indio sin educación. Bajo a la población, no me paro en las esquinas. No me gusta que me digan que yo soy un indio sin educación.
Thank you.
Sofilote murió, ya lo llevan a enterrar, ya lo llevan a enterrar. Échele un puñito de tierra, no vaya a resucitar, no vaya a resucitar.
That was Zarompen Los Fuegos by the La Nueva Compañía, a new company from Central America. And that was to get you in the mood for the launch party for the Kemptown Carnival, Friday, February the 7th at the Concord 2 in Brighton from 10:30 p.m. £8 on the door, £6 in advance. Don't miss it. So now, let's see what else is going on in Brighton at the moment and Hove. This week, the Playbus is out and about again in various different locations in Brighton and Hove. Monday, the 3rd of February, it's at Whitehawk. On Tuesday, the 4th of February, it's at The Level. Wednesday, 5th of February, it's at Bevendeen. Thursday, 6th of February, it's at Hangleton. And let me tell you, the Playbus is a bus, as you might imagine, which brings exciting open access play opportunities into the heart of local neighbourhoods across the city for all children. The service is delivered by trained and dedicated play workers. It's free, inclusive and open to everyone. They give children of all abilities and backgrounds the chance to play free together, interact and make new friends. And which is something of a selling point, I expect, for children is that some of the activities are a bit messy. So they say that the children should wear appropriate clothes. I don't know, maybe adults should wear appropriate clothes. Anyway, all children under 8 must be supervised by a responsible adult. So that is between 3:30 and 5 o'clock. And that's every Thursday until the 27th of March. That is at Hangleton, and that is at Harmsworth Crescent. And so all the other different places, Monday, Tuesday and Wednesday, presumably there every week too. All this information is coming to you via myself from the Brighton and Hove City Council Events Diary on their website. If you go to brighton-hove.gov.uk, and the easiest thing is to search for events. You can get more information about the Playbus by emailing kurt.birkenbeel@brighton-hove.gov.uk. That's kurt.birkenbeel. At brighton-hove.gov.uk. I'll put a link to that on the Facebook page. Let's have some music. Aren't we lucky in Brighton and Hove? Not just do we have clean water and very efficient sewerage system that takes away the dirty water. We also have wonderful play activities for children in lots of different neighbourhoods. So here is a song celebrating Brighton. It's by a wonderful band called Southern Sunrise, who I believe are touring in Holland at the moment, but here they are with a song called Brighton.
Feel alone. but she will always welcome you with open.
I love that. That's called Brighton, and that is on an EP of the same name by the band called Sussed Sunrise. Oops, there you go, five tracks, and that one repeated as a radio edit. I think I played the wrong one, played the non-radio edit. But anyway, it still sounded good to me. They are, I think they're off somewhere in Holland at the moment, but you never know. You may get to see them again. They may be back, but they were a Brighton band, and they wrote a song called Brighton and an EP. Wonderful. This is the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb, your community radio station for Brighton and Hove, 97.2 FM in the Brighton and Hove area. Streaming live on the internet at www.radioreverb.com. Available as a podcast, listen to again, download at oneworldcommunityshow.podomatic.com. I would like to thank a one-time contributor to the One World Community Show some years ago, as she says. A certain Lydia Vadgama came along to talk about Fair Trade Fortnight at the University of Brighton. They had a Fair Trade Committee encouraging more fair trade products and general fair trade attitudes at the University of Brighton. But now she has sent me some information about an event that she's involved with, which is a self-defence class, a self-defence course, and it costs £4 to get in. It's at the University of Brighton. And it's raising money for a children's charity called Hayden's Wish. They're based in New Haven, and the charity works to raise awareness of the relationship between childhood asthma and potentially fatal allergies. And it's named after a little boy called Hayden. This event is going to be on Monday, the 10th of February, from 7:30 until 9:00 at the Cockcroft Building Gym, at the Molescombe campus, the University of Brighton, BN2 4GJ. As I said, it costs £4. There will be opportunities to buy refreshments and raffle tickets, for which there will be some amazing goodies up for sale. And yes, indeed, that kind of goes with the what Ian Hextall was talking about, the dangers of going to collect water in remote areas. So knowing how to defend yourself can come in useful. It's also probably good exercise as well. And this is being organised by the Brighton University Karate Club. Let me see. So to find out more about the charity they're raising funds for, go to www.haydns-wish.co.uk. I will, find a link to the self-defence course. More information about that will be linked to from the Facebook page of the One World Community Show, facebook.com/One World Community Show. Well, just before saying goodbye, I will play another bit of music and then we will be going. So here is the wonderful Danny Nichols, one time resident of Brighton, with a song called The First Cuckoo of Spring. And you know what? I think I'm going to play this and then I'll play something else. Because it's going to be time for The Eclectic Chair with DJ Lamp, if you're listening on Sunday. I'm not sure what's coming otherwise. Anyway, yes, thank you very much for listening to the One World Community Show on Radio Reverb. I'm Donald Shire. I'd like to thank Ian Hextall from the Water Aid Campaign Group Brighton and Hove for coming along to talk about their volunteer day, Sunday 9th of February, 2 to 4pm, and about what Water Aid do in general. And I'd like to also thank you for listening, dear listener. So I'm going to play out with Danny Nichols and The First Cuckoo of Spring. Bye-bye.
The first cuckoo of spring sets my heart aflame. The Caribbean winds are gently blowing in. The first cuckoo of spring is music to my ears, my baby.
I started